like to be a kid? I mean, weren't those days just so carefree? I mean, your only worry in the world was the big red ball at recess. That's all you had to worry about. I mean, weren't those days great? I mean, do you remember what it's like? I mean, I spent a lot of time at the ballpark as a kid growing up. I mean, just about every day at the ballpark hanging out. We did so many things. I remember taking pixie sticks and mixing it with my bubble gum. Or taking pixie sticks and trying to make Kool-Aid with it. Anybody ever do that? I mean, we did all kinds of fun things. I remember challenging the old ballpark legend that if you mix Coke and Pop Rocks and swallow it whole, that it'd blow up your stomach, you know? And I mean, just great memories. You know, I remember taking baseball cards and putting in the spokes of my Stingray bike, you know, with the big banana seat and the handlebars and the flag in the back. I mean, those are good memories. I mean, do you remember grabbing a hairbrush and acting like it was a microphone? And maybe dancing in front of the mirror, singing, you know, a little Tiffany or Debbie Gibson, you know, and having a good time. And guys, if you were doing that, let's talk afterwards, all right? I mean, those are good memories. Memories of getting a mason jar and going out at dusk and collecting some fireflies and falling asleep at night with that little glow next to your bed. I mean, good memories. But for some of us, childhood brought some not so good memories. I mean, there were times maybe you were picked on because maybe you're too slow or too clumsy or too fat or lived in the wrong neighborhood, and you quickly learned that being made fun of is no fun at all. Or maybe you had to grow up too soon. Maybe you were the man of the house by age 10. Or maybe because of an alcoholic parent, you were scared to be in your house after 10. I mean, some of us just wanted to grow up. We wanted to grow up as fast as we possibly could. So we did. But somewhere along the way, many of us lost our childlikeness. And so today, what I think Jesus wants us to learn is, how do we recapture some of that childlike faith? And so we're going to continue looking in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, open to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to look at just a couple verses there, a story you've probably heard before. And if you haven't caught on yet, by week 3, we've been in Luke the whole time through this series, and next week we'll finish up this series with another story in Luke, a story from Jesus. And today I just want to read this simple story, a simple story maybe you've heard before, and here's where it starts. Verse 15, it says this: "One day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him," bothering Jesus. "Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, 'Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it.'" Now, I'm not sure if I've ever told you about the most difficult time of my life. Just a difficult time, and I don't think I've ever shared this publicly, but it was a time where I was at a point in life where I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. In fact, I spent almost all day in bed because I couldn't really use my hands or my feet. In fact, I couldn't even focus my eyes, and someone had to feed me every single meal. And I'm really embarrassed to say that I couldn't even control my bladder. I mean, this was a moment in life I just hoped to get over as soon as possible. And thank goodness I wasn't a baby forever, you know? We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been in that point in life. We've all experienced that. And we all know when we grow up, we go through these moments in life of immaturity. When we're born as a child, we're born with everything we need, every part we need. But we have to grow up in order to use those parts correctly. And so I think today we can take that same principle and apply it spiritually. Because what God wants us all to do is to grow up, to mature, to grow in our faith. In fact, the Bible says that he has given us everything we need for life and godly living. In fact, Paul scolded a bunch of immature people in Corinth who didn't want to grow up, who said, "I'd rather have milk. Don't give me steak. I want to stay a baby." So we need to mature. We need to grow. But then Jesus clearly states, if we want to get into heaven, we've got to become like a child. So we have to mature. We have to grow. We have to progress in our spiritual life, all the while maintaining this childlikeness. So how do we maintain childlikeness without becoming childish? Well, listen to what Philip Yancey says. He says this: "Somehow we must learn to distinguish between appropriate childlike behavior, a prerequisite for the kingdom of heaven, and inappropriate childish behavior, a mark of stunted growth." I think Psalm 131 kind of hints at the difference between childlike behavior and childish behavior. It says this in Psalm 131, "Lord, my heart is not proud," because that would be childish. "My eyes are not haughty," because that would be childish. "I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child, like a small child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me." And here's what David's saying here. He's saying, I'm no longer nursing. I'm growing past that stage. I am maturing. But God, I still need you. I can't do this without you. So what is Jesus wanting us to learn? What does he want us to gather from this story about having childlike faith? Well, I think there are a couple of lessons we can learn here, and we're going to use childlike phrases to teach these lessons. And the first phrase, I think, is simply this: once upon a time. Once upon a time. I mean, kids say that all the time, once upon a time. I mean, kids just have this limitless faith. I mean, they just are wide-eyed with potential. They have huge minds for creativity. I mean, they believe anything is possible. I mean, they still believe that there's blue horses riding through the clouds, or maybe that the angels are bowling. That's what makes it thunder. I mean, they believe that there's a man in the moon, or Skittles come from a rainbow. I mean, they are just wide-eyed with wonder. They believe anything is possible. Now, as I started in ministry, I was a children's minister. And, you know, I had to keep kind of like a bag of tricks kind of in my pocket or up my sleeve, so to speak, because, you know, sometimes preachers go a little long. And so I needed to have some stuff to do to keep the kids entertained in case that happened. So I'd carry a yo-yo around. I could do, you know, walk the dog and around the world and rock the baby, a couple other tricks like that. And I had a couple other magic tricks that I'd always kind of keep with me. My favorite one was this invisible string trick that I would do. And I'm not going to tell you about it because I might do it with you one day, and so I don't want to ruin the trick. But it was just a great, it just always brought down the house. The kids loved it. Anytime I'd go somewhere, if the kids seen it, they'd want me to do it in their house. And I remember I was at a kid's house and talking to them about baptism, and they had a little brother there. So we're at the dining room table, and I'm doing this trick, and they're like, "This is incredible, this is awesome," and they couldn't believe it. And then I said to the little girl, and she was about 6 years old, I said, "Would you want to hold my string?" She's like, "Could I?" And I said, "Sure." And so I handed her the invisible string, and she was holding it like this. She goes, "Oh, this is so neat." And then her little three-year-old brother ran up and grabbed the string and started running around the house. "I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it." And she's going, "No, he gave it to me first. No, I had it, no, I had it, no, I had it." It didn't exist, all right? There was no string there. They're fighting over something that didn't exist, but that's how kids are, aren't they? They just have this huge, huge imagination and belief. Reminds me of a story of a little guy who was in Sunday school class, and his teacher was telling him the story about creation. I mean, he was blown away by this story. I mean, he was sitting there in awe just hearing about day one and day two and day three and day four. Got to day six, the creation of man and woman. I mean, he couldn't believe that men were made from the dirt. And then the teacher started telling the story about how the woman came along. And she said, "You know what? It was good. It was not good for man to be alone. And so God said he needed a wife. And so God put this man asleep, and he took a rib, and from the rib he made his wife." I mean, this kid just couldn't believe this. Wow, it's incredible. Later that week, he's out playing in the neighborhood. He's running around. He gets this cramp in his side, and he starts yelling at his friend, "Stop, guys, stop. I think I'm having a wife." I mean, isn't that just how kids are? I mean, they just believe you can have a wife just like that. If it was only that easy, you know? You know what? Kids have no fixed perception of reality. I mean, they're not desensitized by technology or logic. I mean, they just believe that anything is possible, that God can do anything. If he is God, he can do anything. Listen to what one of the most creative, logical Christian men, Albert Einstein, said. Listen to what he said. He said this: "There are two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle. The other is though everything is a miracle." Listen again to what Jesus said here. He said, "I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God." I mean, sometimes don't we say kids just don't understand? They just don't get it. They don't know any better. Guess what? I think they do. I think they do know better. And Jesus is constantly affirming people's faith who didn't know any better. Peter stepped out of the boat, started walking on water because he didn't know any better. And when he started thinking he knew better, that's when he started to sink. Jesus affirms people with faith like that. I mean, I think of the centurion who came to Jesus in the middle of this crowd. His daughter was sick. His daughter was dying. He said, Jesus, just say the words. Just say the words. You don't even have to come to my house. Just say the words and she will be healed. He didn't know any better. Jesus affirmed his faith. I think about the four friends who brought their paralytic friend on a mat to see Jesus. They couldn't get in. So what they do? They tore a hole in the roof, lowered the guy down. They didn't know any better. But Jesus affirmed their faith. I mean, Jesus is constantly affirming the faith of people who don't know any better. Someone said this, the little I know, I owe to my ignorance. The little I know, I owe to my ignorance. It's, you know, just, you don't know any better, but then all of a sudden you learn that you know so much. I mean, isn't that the same case with prayer? I mean, isn't a prayer like that? I mean, prayer is when you go to God, a God you can't see, and you start talking to him, and he can't audibly speak back to you when you speak to him, but you still do it. You still pray. I mean, you can collect all the evidence in the world you want, but you're never going to have a DVD of creation. You're never going to have a DVD of Jesus' resurrection, but you still do it. You still pray because you have faith, faith based on reasons. And I believe that Jesus meant it when he said, blessed are those who have not seen. He's talking about us. Blessed are those who haven't seen, yet they believe because they are developing this heart, this childlike faith. And I think that's the kind of faith that God honors. You see, being childish is having these unrealistic expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, then we pout and we whine. But being childlike is having this open-minded faith where God can do anything, anytime. And that's the kind of faith that Jesus affirms. But there appears to be more to this concept of being childlike. And I think the next thing we can learn from is this phrase, when are we going to open the presents? When are we going to open the presents? I mean, how many times have you heard your kids say that phrase? When are you going to open birthday time, Christmas time? Do they ever say, when are we going to eat the pecan pie? No. They say, when are we going to open the presents? Kids do such a wonderful job at accepting gifts. They just do. Have you ever seen them open a gift? They're like little paper shredders, man. Stuff's going everywhere. They're flying everywhere. They don't care how nicely wrapped it is or you picked out a matching bow and paper. They don't care your little Christmas trees or stripes match up. They just rip into it. I mean, paper's flying everywhere. Cardboard's flying everywhere. Plastic's flying everywhere because they want to get to their gift. And they're never going to say, Oh, you shouldn't have done that. That's just way too much. You know, have you ever heard a kid say that? They're never going to say that. They're never going to say, you know what? That was a very thoughtful card. Thank you for sharing that with me. I mean, they're not going to say anything like that. They're not going to say, you know what? Let me give you something nice in return. They're never going to say, would you like to keep the bow? They're just not going to say things like that, all right? But kids are wonderful at accepting gifts. Tearing into them, saying thank you, and let's go play. You see, Jesus knew a true mark of humility is when we could accept a gift. When we could accept a gift. Jesus accepted gifts of hospitality. He stayed at people's house, food, perfume. Never in Scripture do you see Jesus going, oh, no, I could never do that. He accepted it. And there is a great illustration of this in Jesus, the Last Supper. What did Jesus do before they sit down to eat? He washed their feet, remember? The disciples are gathered around the room. He goes, each disciple washing their feet. And he comes to Peter. Peter tucks his feet up under and says, you're not going to wash my feet, Jesus. No way, no how. That is beneath you. And Jesus says, Peter, you've been with me for 3 years. Don't you get this childlike faith thing by now? I mean, come on. Unless you do this, you'll have no part of me. Peter, unless you accept this gift, you have no part of me. And what did Peter said, you know, wash my head, wash my body, wash all of it, because I want to be a part of you. Jesus, that's what he said. Listen to what verse 17 says in the Message. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Unless you accept it with the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. I mean, Jesus modeled this. I mean, Jesus taught this because he knew that there was a decision that people were going to have to make, a gift that they were going to have to receive shortly, and they needed to accept it like a child. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the, what? Gift of God. It's a gift. It is a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't pay it back. You can't return the favor. You just accept it. You tear it open. You apply it to your life and you say, let's go play. Let's go play. I mean, I think this illustration of Jesus with the kids on his lap really was kind of a follow-up for the story Jesus had just told before this. You see, he just told a story before this about two guys. One guy was a Pharisee, one guy was a tax collector. One guy was a churchgoer, one guy was a sinner. And this Pharisee went to church and said, I'm glad I'm not like everybody else. I'm glad I'm not like him. Because I give, I serve, I keep the rules. I do this church thing very well. I have earned heaven. And so Jesus, sitting there with these kids on his lap, he says, you know what? No, you can't earn heaven. You can't do it unless you are like one of these kids, unless you receive this gift, this free gift of grace, you're not getting in. That's what he says. That's what he models. I think it's a great illustration of how it's a gift that we have to humbly accept. But I think there's one last phrase that we can learn from, and it's simply this. Kids say, hold my hand, please. Hold my hand, please. Because children know how to trust. They say, hold my hand, please. They ask you to hold their hand when they're afraid, when they're scared, when they need someone they trust to be there for them. I'll never forget our first trip to Disney with our two kids. I mean, I think Silas was 6 or 7 and Eli was about 8. And we had a great day. And I remember going, you know what? We've got to go to the Haunted Mansion. You know, it's just one of my favorite places. Good memory as a kid. It's fun. A lot of laughter. I remember seeing my face in the mirror and the ghost next to me. Ooh, this is so fun. I remember walking up, we're standing in line, and of course they're playing the music, and they got that, you know, horse carriage out there, and I noticed Silas starting to really get close to me, all right? You know when your kids do that, and they start getting nervous, they start getting really close, like, you're my space, kid, you know, what's going on here? And we're not even in the place yet, he's already getting nervous, you know? And we go into that first little room, you remember the room, probably if you've been there, it's that little room, looks like an elevator shaft, kind of dark, and that deep Vincent Price voice comes on and starts talking about scary things, and he's even closer now, and he reaches up, and he grabs my hand. And we're there, and all of a sudden the pictures start getting longer. You know what I'm talking about? And then the lights go out, and then he's in my lap, all right? I mean, he's like holding on for dear life, and the lights come on, and I can see his eyes. And you know that look as a parent. You can just see the fear in his eyes. You see the tears welling up, and he is just holding on for dear life. And I found the exit door, and we took him out. And, man, he didn't let go of my hand for like an hour because he was scared. You know, people have always said, cherish these times with your kids because they go so fast. And I thought that was something old people say all the time, you know. But now that I'm old people, let me just say, cherish these times with your kids because they go so fast. I mean, they just go so fast. I mean, I just remember when my kids were little. I remember the horsey rides and the piggyback rides and Thomas the Tank Engine. And I remember cuddling and coloring. I mean, those are such great memories. It goes so fast. You know, and as a parent, maybe you've asked yourself this question, are my kids getting it? Am I teaching them anything? You know, last year, it was just touching. My son had a project in his class where he had to just write a note about dad. And came home, brought it, my wife handed it to me, and this is a note I keep in my office just to remind me about how kids are always watching. And this is what he wrote to me. He says, Dad loves God, and he cares for others who aren't fortunate. He taught me to care for others who are in need. He taught me how to shoot a gun the right way. He taught me how to make stuff with my hands. He taught me to love my family. He taught me how to put gas in the truck and how to wash it and take care of it. He taught me to love God all the time. I don't know about you, but as a dad, I mean, those words just melted my heart. I mean, just melted my heart. And let me tell you how much more God wants to hear those words from you. God wants to hear you say things like, God, when I'm with you, I believe I can do anything. I mean, God, when I'm with you, I believe I can fly. God, I'm with you, I feel safe. God, when I'm with you, I feel like every problem in my life is going to be handled. God, when I'm with you, I feel like I can mount up on wings like eagles and I can just soar. I can just soar. I mean, that's what God wants to hear from us. That's what our Father wants to hear from us. And Jesus says, that's what it's like when your heart begins to have that childlike faith. I mean, kids want to be with their parents. Kids love their parents. They want to feel safe when they're with their parents. I think David knew this, and listen to what David wrote in Psalm 25. My eyes are ever looking to the Lord for help, for he alone can rescue me. for he alone can rescue me. I mean, can I ask you today, do you believe your Heavenly Father can rescue you? Do you believe your Heavenly Father can help you with whatever it is you are dealing with in your life right now? I mean, do you believe that your Heavenly Father wants the best for you? Do you believe him when he says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him? I mean, Jesus was constantly holding the hand of people who were scared. Constantly, Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus. Jesus shows up in one of the most simple two-word scriptures in the Bible, yet most profound. It simply says, Jesus wept. He cried. He was there with them. He held their hand in that moment. The disciples were scared to death. Jesus told them he was leaving. He was not coming back. And they were scared. He says, don't worry, I will send the comforter to be with you. And I think one of the most incredible lessons of this is Jesus. Jesus, in that last night, that last few moments of his life, he is overwhelmed. He is scared. He goes to the Garden of Eden because he wants to hold his dad's hand. Because he wants to talk to his dad. And he cries out in Aramaic, Abba, Abba, which means daddy. Daddy, take this cup from me. Isn't there another way? There's got to be another way. I don't want to go to the cross. I'm scared. But God, not my will, but yours be done. He just wanted to hold his daddy's hand. And the Bible says that an angel came and comforted him. Dennis Reagan tells a story about a missionary who was home on furlough. Someone gave him a lake house where they can go and spend a little time just relaxing. And the dad had two sons, and they were kind of standing out on the dock and kind of hanging out. And the dad says, I need to go to the house. And he tells his teenage son, can you watch your little brother? He said, sure, not a problem. And so the dad turns around and starts walking up towards the house. And as he gets to the house, he hears a splash, and he turns around, and his youngest son is gone. And he looks at his oldest son. His oldest son's looking at the girls and across the way. And he comes back down running and says, where's your brother? Where's your brother? I don't know. He was just right here. And the dad jumps in the water and he begins to frantically look and feel for his son. He can't find him. So he comes up, takes a breath, goes back down. And he's feeling around the bottom. He's feeling the rocks and the mud. He can't find him. He comes back up, takes another breath, goes back down. And as he's going back down, he happens to brush against the side of him. And he finds his son, his little boy there, and he's holding on to the pole of the dock. And so he pries his hands loose of that pole, grabs his son, and pulls him to the surface and puts him on the dock. And as you can imagine, their hearts were just pounding. Adrenaline was just going. And they're there sucking air in, trying to get their breath. And when they finally relax and they finally get done, this father looks at his little son and says, why were you holding on to the pole? Why were you holding on? And his son simply says, Daddy, I was just waiting for you. I was just waiting for you. The word belief literally can be translated to give one's heart to. I think that's why Jesus, in his last moments on that cross, could say these words with confidence, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. If I've been in your hands all my life, then Daddy, I'm just waiting for you. I'm just waiting for you. You know, we have such a privilege at this church every single weekend to pour that message into the hearts of the kids, into the heart of some of your kids. And there's a prayer that I want to share with you, a prayer that we've used here. And it's just called a prayer for kids. And here's what it says. We pray for children. We pray for children who sneak popsicles before supper, who erase holes in math workbooks, who can never find their shoes. And we pray for those who stare at photographers from behind barbed wire, who can't bound down the street in a new pair of sneakers, who were born in places where we wouldn't be caught dead, who never go to the circus, who live in an X-rated world. We pray for children who bring us sticky kisses and fistfuls of dandelions, who sleep with a cat and bury goldfish, who hug us in a hurry and forget their lunch money, who squeeze toothpaste all over the sink, who slurp their soup. And we pray for those who never get dessert, who have no safe blanket to drag behind them, who watch their parents watch them die, who can't find any bread to steal, who don't have any rooms to clean up, whose pictures aren't on anybody's dresser, whose monsters are real. We pray for children who spend all their allowances before Tuesday, who throw tantrums in the grocery store and pick at their food, who like ghost stories, who shove dirty clothes under the bed, who never rinse out the tub, who get visits from the tooth fairy, who don't like to be kissed in front of the carpool, who squirm in church and scream on the phone, whose tears we sometimes laugh at, and whose smiles can make us cry. We pray for those whose nightmares come in the daytime, who will eat anything, who have never seen a dentist, who aren't spoiled by anybody, who go to bed hungry and cry themselves to sleep, who live and move but have no being. We pray for children who want to be carried, and for those who must, for those we never give up on, and for those who don't get a second chance, for those we smother, and for those who will grab the hand of anybody kind enough to offer it. We pray for children. Amen. We treasure kids at this church. I mean, I can tell you that without a doubt. I can tell you that with such confidence because we treasure kids here. We love your kids. And we count it as a privilege to be able to serve you and partner with you as parents, to be able to raise your kids in a godly home, knowing that God made them, that God made them for a purpose, and he loves them, and he's got a plan for their lives. We value that here at this church. And we have so many incredible things to offer you as parents, offer this community for your kids. I mean, we just love what we do here. We don't babysit. In fact, you say that to any of our children's and youth staff, they will get mad at you for saying, we don't babysit your kids. We're teaching them the most important thing in life that we possibly can share with them. And I tell you what, it's amazing what happens here every week. If you have kids or grandkids in this place, it is absolutely amazing. So many things happen. And if you're like me, so many times you don't even see what happens around here because we have amazing people doing amazing things every single week. And so this week, we actually are asking, yes, we want your help. We need your help. We need you to jump in and get out of the pew and partner with us in what God is doing here in this place and around our community. And sometimes I know you think, okay, I can't do the kid thing. I remember what it was like when I was a kid. But you know what I want to do? I want to show you what it's like around here. I want to do something a little different today. I want to show you exactly what's going on right now in our children's ministry. So I'm going to walk off this stage, and you can watch on the big screen as I go right now and show you what is happening in our children's ministry right now. So watch up here on the screen as I go and lose my breath running around this building. But it's going to be fun, and we're going to see some of your kids, see some of your grandkids here on the screen. Let me grab my other microphone over here. Thank you, sir. And we are walking, we are walking, we are walking. We're going to head first into our early childhood area, our nursery area. We're going to go to Suite D, and I believe that's two-year-olds, all right? So if you have a two-year-old, I hope they're on their best behavior, all right? So here we go. We're heading into Suite D here. I hear some music already going. Oh, what is going on, guys? We are singing. And you know it, and your faces really show it. You're happy. I scared a kid already. So how are you doing here, Jessica?
Great.
How long have you been working in the children's ministry?
6 years now.
6 years. Now, what brings you back every week to work with these kids?
Well, look at them. They're happy. They smile. They're fun. Why wouldn't you want to work here? They're great.
Aubrey, are you having a fun time? She said yes, I promise. She said yes. Now, what's the snack today?
Ritz crackers.
Darn. You know, I'm going to go out and see if there's some donuts in the atrium. Thanks, Jessica, for all you do. Bye, kids. Can you say hello to your moms and dads? All right. Well, we're going to the atrium. We're moving this way. We're walking this way. You know, we have tons of volunteers. And you know what? I know the stock market's kind of down right now. So if you want to invest in something, invest in Cheerios. We go through like 2 tons of Cheerios a year around here, all right? Lots of stuff going on now. We're heading out here through the atrium, and people are going to look at me a little weird because I'm supposed to be on stage with you guys. And here we come through, and here's... Hello, ladies. How are you? What you got there? Hold on. I'm going to get a donut. It's a free donut. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's our Atrium Cafe team. How many donuts a weekend do we go through? 300. I think it's probably more than that. It's probably 300 dozen, I think. Something like that. Hey, guys. Parking team there. Go Michigan. Come on. All right, well, we're keeping moving. We're keeping moving. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you walk from one end of the building, it's like a quarter mile. And so we're moving down here to our four-year-old area. Hello, guys. Hey, Brian, how are you doing today? It's good to see you, too. We're moving. I got to get my donut here, so I'm going to get a break in a minute. Hey, guys, how are you doing this morning? You guys doing all right? Hey, how's it going? All right, we're heading back down here into the safari area now. I haven't dropped my donut yet. Notice that. We're coming down and we have the trading post and the wetlands, two really cool areas. And we're going to head in here and see what is going on this morning. Well, hello. How are you guys doing today? Can you all wave at your moms and dads on the camera? You guys doing all right today? Yes. Good. Natalie, how are you doing today?
Good.
What are you guys learning about today?
Jonah.
Good. Jonah. And Caleb, what did Jonah do? Do you know what he did? Did he get swallowed by a lion?
No.
What he got?
A whale.
A whale. He got swallowed by a whale. Was it a little whale or a big whale? Wonderful. Awesome. A big giant whale. Like the whale up there on the stage? Uh-huh.
Not that whale. On the other stage.
Oh, on the other stage. Oh, okay. Well, cool. Do you guys have fun when you come here every week?
Uh-huh.
Well, good. I'm glad you said that. It's important, all right? Man, you guys are great. Thank you so much for letting me come here today. Would anybody like to share my donut?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody wants my donut. Well, I'll leave it with your adults so they can have your donut, all right? Thank you, guys. There you are, sir. It's awesome. Goodbye, guys. All right, we're moving. I'm working up a sweat already. Need to get my money back from my gym. Really. All right, we're moving this way. Hello, sir. How are you today? Doing all right, Owen? Good. All right, now we're moving to our elementary area. And our elementary area is, well, as you'll see as we walk in here, a lot of energy in there. Excuse us. How are you today? All right, we're going right through here. This elementary area is known as Main Street Live, and it sounds like there's some music or something going on here today. Oh, yeah, check this out. Wow. That's so cool. I'm going to try to get in there and dance with them. That is an aerobic exercise. Look at all these kids in here this morning. This is kindergarten through fourth grade. We have nearly 500 of these kids here every single weekend. It's absolutely amazing what they're doing in here. Woo! Hey, can I interrupt for a second? Hello, Miss Christine. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. Hey, kids, can you tell your moms and dads what's our virtue this month? Grace. And what does grace mean? Wow, you guys are awesome. Can you guys wave at the camera and say hello to your moms and dads? Thank you, guys. All right, we're moving back. I'm looking at my clock. I know. Woo! I'm dancing. There we go. Look at that camera work. It's amazing. Bye-bye. Hello, bookstore people. Wow, it is amazing what happens around here. And what's amazing about this place is we constantly have things going on for kids. Never is there a day that goes by. Oh, thank you so much. CD. Oh, my sermon CD. Make sure you go and grab one of those, all right? It is amazing what happens around here. Wednesday nights, we have Grow You kicking off here in a couple weeks. We definitely need some volunteers for that. We're bringing back our kids' choir called God's Gang, and they're going to meet on Wednesday nights. We got all sorts of things. We need volunteers for all these areas. We need volunteers in First Impressions. We need volunteers with our children's ministry, our youth ministry. It is amazing what's going on around here. God is doing some great things, and we definitely could use your help. And I hope today you've seen a really good kind of backdoor tour of what we do around here, because it is awesome what God is doing in the lives of kids. So I'm going to get back in here with you right now and try to hurry back in here. I'm sucking wind. I'm coming, I promise. They told me to bring my hanky this morning because I was glowing last night, all right? I need to get my money back from my gym, I promise you. I shouldn't be that out of breath. Let me just kind of ask you to pull this out of your bulletin this morning, if you would. Here's what I want you to think about. There are 1,525,222 people in the city of Jacksonville. And God has blessed us with the opportunity each and every weekend, each and every week, to make a difference in many of those people's lives. And here's what I believe. I've got faith that God can use this church to impact every single one of those people in this community. And I believe he wants to use you. I believe he wants to use you to be a part of what he is doing here in Jacksonville, part of what he is doing here at Christ Church, and we need your help. All right? We can't do this with us sitting in the pews and not getting up out of our pews, using our gifts to make a difference here in this church and around this community. So here's my challenge to you. I'm just being honest with you guys. I need your help. I need your help. We want to change the world. We want to change Jacksonville. And we need you to partner with us. So I encourage you this morning to take a minute and look through this. We've got jobs not just on Sunday mornings, but Wednesday nights, every day of the week. You can work for a half an hour. You can work for an hour. You can work once a month. You can work every weekend of the month. You can help me work out, because obviously I need that help. We have all kinds of things for you to partner with us in. And I really encourage you, because this is a church that just treasures kids so much. Because not only are they the now, but they are the future. And so would you join us? Would you just partner with us to make a difference in the lives of kids? There are 1,525,222 people that need Jesus put in front of them. I need your help. Would you join us? Drop this in the offering plate today. Drop this in the little gas cans as you go out the door. We need your help here at Christ Church. Would you pray with me? God, we just humbly come before you. We're just so grateful for just, God, the way that you love us. And God, from this simple, simple story today of Jesus bringing the kids and placing them on his lap, we're reminded, God, of how we need to be childlike. I mean, I look at that number, I look at that 1,525,222 number, it's so easy to say, well, we can't do that, there's no way. But God, I have a childlike faith that says, yes, we can, because we have you on our side, God. And so, God, I just pray for everyone in this room today that, God, that you will just challenge them to get into the game, to make a difference. There are lives that need to be saved. There are people's lives that need to be changed. And, God, we need everyone at this church involved in making that happen. So, God, would you just draw us together as a church unified and making a difference, not only here, but in our community. We love you, God, and most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who gave us this free gift, who gave us this thing the kids talked about this morning, grace, something we didn't deserve. I mean, God, his life that he gave on the cross gave us opportunity for life forever with you. So thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus, and it's his name we pray. Amen.